If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 21. John 21, we'll talk a few minutes from that. And I realize that for so many of our young people, they've never gone through what our country is going through here in the last few months and continue to go through it. They've never went through an epidemic like that we are facing, to where that so much caution has to be taken, where there's such a limitation as to what you can do, to where you can go. And could I encourage you to do whatever you can to protect yourself, to be safe. As we said before, if you feel more comfortable with a mask, we have masks in the back there. You're welcome to put a mask on. We try to keep you distance, try to not to get too close to one another unless you know that person. Now, if you know that person in your family, and you're safe by sitting beside them like James and Erica, go ahead. Try to exercise good caution, and God's been good to us. We sure thank the Lord for that. I want to, this morning, if you are able to do it, if you're like me, some of you are not able to do it, I'd like for you to stand. We'll read a few verses. Look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on the breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, Father, surely we are mindful of the need of your help. Holy Spirit of God, we offer this ourselves unto you, the body, to use for your glory, to be able to minister to your people that are here this morning. Now, Lord, you know that we need something from your word, something that will help us to grow, something that will strengthen us in our faith. And so, our Father, to here today, we've surely been able to rest upon you, trust you, and it's been good to be in your house. It's been good to be around your people. It's been good to hear the singing the old songs of Zion and songs, Lord, that touch our hearts and cause us to rejoice in our salvation. We thank you for that. Our Father, you know the need. You look upon the heart of each one of us here today. And Lord, you see a bunch of sinners. You see those who have been saved by grace through faith in the finished work at Calvary. But Lord, even as your children, you know we need help. And we do pray that this time together would not be in vain, but Lord, that we could learn something that would encourage us in our relationship with you, and we'll thank you for that. We love you, and Lord, just fill us with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we do ask, amen. You may be seated. The question was asked a while ago. Kaylee, give me a little on this mic if you don't care. Some people are dozing off on the back there, and I'm not going to say who it is. But anyway, the question was asked, how many is having a battling of spiritual warfare? How many is dealing with spiritual things with the Lord? And most of you, a lot of you, raised your hand, and you're in a spiritual battle. And we do. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, do we? but against principalities and powers. This morning, Peter, the story, a very familiar story that even the kindergarten kids have heard of and know, the story of Peter. And in that, it reveals from defeat to victory. And you know the story at the end of that. Here it's interesting. Now, the church had been out on the water. The brethren had decided that they were going to go fishing. Now, so many today have decided to go fishing. They may be fishing at the television, or they may be fishing in the backyard, or they may be fishing out on the campgrounds, or they may be fishing elsewhere. But a lot of people are going fishing, isn't it? Now, Jesus, and I don't understand for one minute, hardly that I would think that if I had saw the risen Lord, I think that if I had seen him come through that wall there and speak to me, if I thought into that he would say, Thomas, come here, and I could see the nails, the scars in his body, put your hand in my side here. I think that I would like to think that if I had saw all of that I wouldn't be so concerned about going fishing. But here you find it here that the disciples are seven of them. After a while, the Lord had appeared to them three times. And Peter said, well, let's go fishing. Now, Peter has problems, like most of us do. Into that, Peter, you remember that in the story, in the verses before that, Jesus had questioned Peter. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter, three times, informed the Lord, Lord, you know that I love you. And we could ask that question here today. Do you love the Lord? And most of you would say, well, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. And he said, Peter, go and feed my sheep. Now, Peter had just had a big failure in his life. He'd had a big disappointment. He had disappointed the Lord. He had denied the Lord. He had, in the midst of those folks there at the court, he had denied that he even knew the Lord. He used some foul language, like some of you do sometimes when you're on the golf course and you miss a shot. I'm not going to say who that would do, and nobody in here, but I'm saying into that that Peter got into problems. He got to denying the Lord. He had followed the Lord for and the Lord for three different times has said, Peter, follow me. How hard it is for us to get the simple message, isn't it? The Lord says for each one of us, follow me. Follow me. He said into that Matthew 4:19, he said, come and follow me. Peter left his net, left his boat, went fishing, following the Lord. And again, he said over in the chapter 9 somewhere, John, he said again, Peter said, Lord said, I've got to go away. Peter said, "You can't, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll even die for you." How many in here is willing to do that? Peter was right brave, wasn't he? He was doing more than some of us would say to the Lord, I'll die for you. And Jesus said, no, you can't go right now, but you maybe later on. So the third time here, Jesus says to him again, follow me, follow me. How many times that have you said and you've listened to the same old message and you've got the same message to do something, you never did it? We say over and over again, my soul, you ought to be a witness for the Lord. We say, boy, you ought to pass out tracts. We say you ought to be able to tell somebody about Christ. We say something, you ought to keep your life clean and straight and live it for the Lord. Over and over again, we talk and we say things, and over again, you fail. You don't do it. When you leave here, you may have intentions to do it. But oftentimes, we have trouble putting into practice those intentions. Peter failed, had a disappointing time, and here now that they have been out on the sea, they've been out there fishing, the Lord has appeared on the seaside, and the Lord has said, come and dine. Hey, fellas, you caught anything? And they hadn't caught anything. Throw your net over here, and you'll be able to find some. Go over here to this spot, and they're biting down here. And you know the story. They threw the net over. My goodness, they caught a net full of fish, I think 153. And the Lord's already over on the bank, and Peter said, hey, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. Peter was naked. Can I say to you, that's what how Peter was dressed, is how so many of God's people are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Can I say to you, you're going to be standing there before the Lord naked? Nothing to to clothe yourself in because you've how you lived your life for God. Can I say to you, into that God expects something out of your life? God did not save you just to get you to heaven. God saved you to do something for Him. We are not saved by works, but we are His workmanship. We are to follow the Lord. We are to be committed to the Lord. Being a Christian is not easy. It's easy to get saved, but it's not easy to follow the Lord. If that tribulations and troubles and suffering will follow you if you stay close to God into that. And you look at everyone that followed the Lord. Say, well, I'm going to be a Christian and it's going to be an easy life. No, it's not going to be an easy life. I think to that, and you find it most of the times in failure that God can still take that failure and use people for His glory. Now, He said here, the Lord said, Peter, follow me. They're standing here. There's seven of them here. And he's already, he has to be embarrassed because in front of his peers there, the Lord has chastised him a little bit. Peter, do you love me? He didn't say, John, do you love me? He didn't say, Thomas, do you love me? He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, for three times, Peter had to say, yes, Lord, I love you. That has to be a little bit embarrassing. It's a little bit embarrassing when you have disappointed the Lord and you have to go before the Lord, isn't it? And here he's in front of his peers. He has said, listen to the Lord, kind of chastise him a little. And the Lord says to Peter, come here. Follow me over here. And Peter starts to follow the Lord. The Lord's walking away from the group. And as they begin to leave the group, Peter looks back, and here comes John. And Peter asks the question, well, what about this man? What's he to do? And I like the little phrase there. Jesus said to him, what is that to you? We get so caught up pointing our fingers at somebody else. What's he going to do? Well, that's none of your business what I got for him. I've got something for him. What is that to thee? And Peter, the Lord, he said that I will that he tarry till I come. And so you find here Peter trying to maybe take a little bit of the attention off of him and put it on John. And he knowing that John was one of the disciples that followed the Lord, stayed with the Lord, and loved the Lord, and showed forth his love for God. Now, some of you do that for God. Some of you show forth your love. Some of you, sometimes we get into that to where we don't. Failure, oftentimes, you can still have victory from failure. Peter had here. Peter is going to have victory from his failures. I was thinking into that to hear that people that had failures in their life. I just recently we've seen where Abraham Lincoln has come under a heavy attack. And one time he was a good fella. One time we had a statue of him and. He done a good job, but now he's come attacked. But Abraham Lincoln, before he ever got to the presidency, how many times did he fail? Man, the goodness, he failed trying to win this election. He failed in that election. He failed running for vice president several times. That Abraham Lincoln, but he did not quit. He kept persevering. He kept going into that. To where that he finally became elected as president and became one of the great presidents of our country. I think into that, some of you take it, we know him more about what he accomplished and what he didn't. We know more about his victories than we know about his failures. It's the same thing into that as with Peter. When we think of Peter, we think of his failures. we don't realize that Peter, from here, he goes on, and boy, just a few weeks later, he's going to preach a great sermon at there at the temple, and many of 3,000 people are going to get saved. Here is a guy that's a question, Lord, what about him? What's he going to do? And the Lord's having to say, hey, don't worry about him. It's not your business. You take care. You do what you follow me. And Peter gets that thing turned around. He begins to follow the Lord. Ty Cobb. Anybody know who Ty Cobb was? Now, if you know anything about baseball, you know who Ty Cobb was. Ty Cobb was known for his base stealing. Man, he could steal a base while you was watching him. On that, but he goes down into history in baseball as being one of the great base runners, base stealers of all time. But what you don't know is that Ty Cobb got thrown out more times than he stole. Same thing with Babe Ruth. You think of Babe Ruth, what do you think about? Well, we think about Brother Frazee, probably, but... But when we think about in baseball history, we think of Babe Ruth and the power that he had in hitting home runs, don't we? We think about how great a hitter he was. But do you understand that Babe Ruth struck out over 100 times, more times than he did that he hit home runs? He had failures in his life. Every person that achieves something is going to have failures before victory comes oftentimes. I think that... So you know of Billy Sunday. I want to just to say something here to kind of stick my chest out a little bit, Mike. I have the same birthday as two great preachers had. Now, can anybody in here say that? Billy Sunday had the same was born on the same day of the month that I was. He didn't do nothing but probably led over a million people to the Lord. Peter Ruckman, born on the same day that my birthday. Another great man of God who led many up into the millions of people. I'm very distinguished, aren't I? My birthday here distinguished with these kind of preachers. I just thought the Lord, this and that, Lord, do you reckon that you could let me, because I was born on the same day that they were, that you'd let me get in their group? And I believe that the Holy Spirit said, no way. But anyway, what I'm saying is some of you have failed and you have said, that's it. I cannot be able to overcome that. And that God can't use me. Could I say to you today that you could be like Peter, and if you're willing to say, Lord, I love you, and Lord, I'm willing to follow you, that God can put his hand upon you, and you can turn that failure into victory and become a good servant for Jesus Christ. See?
That's good preaching right there.
We sometimes forget that God can take those that have wrecks in their lives.
Right.
I've had wrecks in my lives. There have been times I've been told that I'm not qualified to pastor on that. And if I'd listened to people, some of the brethren, I wouldn't be here today. But I understand that God's calling is out without repentance.
Right.
I understand that the Lord said, go on. Though you have some failures, though you have some disappointments, though you have some setbacks in your life, don't quit. Don't quit. Go on and serve God. And we're facing a time in our lives today, regardless of how old you are, regardless of what has gone on in the past, but God forgives the past and God opens the future for you to the opportunity to serve him. Young people, are you listening? God wants to use you. God wants to take a Andrew and a Lily and use them. God wants to take a young man and say, hey, will you follow me? And so I say to us this morning, do you love him? You don't have to stay in failure. We are all sinners. I look out over the congregation and I say, boy, could I find a perfect one out here? Is there one out here that hasn't sinned? Well, the closest I could get would be Nicole and Lisa. Now, they're sitting up here close. I can see them. Francie and Dahlia, No way for Todd. No way for Jimmy. But what I'm saying is we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God regardless into that. And God can forgive us, and God is willing that none perish but all would come to repentance. You're sitting here today and you're not saved. What's the reason you're not saved? You're sitting here today and you say, boy, I know that I ought to be saved. Well, why aren't you? Why would you put off the opportunity to enjoy the joys of heaven and to be able to have the everything that you're looking for, your mind can think of today? Why would you put it off and take the chance of going to a place to where that there is fire and brimstone, where there is nothing but blackness and darkness, where there is no light, where God is not available, and you are for eternity trying to pay your debt of sin when Jesus said, I'll pay for them if you'll come to me. And into that, get your sins forgiven. Why are you sitting there not saved today? I cannot. How foolish it is for a person to reject the offer that God has. Come unto me. Cast your cares upon me. My soul, I don't think there's a person in here that's been born again by the grace of God would say, hey, I regret that I got saved. I'm sorry that I trusted. I'm sorry I'm a Christian. I don't believe there's a person in here I have never met in all of the years of my ministry. I've never met a person that said, hey, I'm sorry that I got saved. I've had a world of them say, boy, I'm sorry that I didn't live for God like I ought to. I'm sorry, preacher, that I had put off of serving him. I know that I've got to, that the Lord saved me. But boy, preacher, I did not serve him like I did. I'm a Peter. I'm a failure to the Lord. I did not do what he said. I didn't follow him. Well, get it turned around. Get it turned around. Turn your failures into victories. We all can be used if we're willing. Oh, now you may not be able to sit up on the big throne. You may not be able to sit up on the second floor. Or you may not even get up on the first floor. I'm a basement Christian. I can't get out of the basement, see. But hey, down in the basement, you know what's going on down there? There's a lot of work going on down there. And regardless of how elevated you are, there's men and women that are elevated up into the kingdom of God that are great to Christians. I'm not up there yet. But I'm down here in the basement trying to get up there. And into that, and I'm going to struggle. I'm going to strive to get up to where that I can be a little bit better pleasing to God. Sister Kackler, she's sitting up here playing the piano. She's played piano in churches for years, haven't you? And I sat there and I just sat and listened. And I think, you know, Lord, that's a blessing. I sure enjoy her playing. Amen. I'm glad that she's willing to do something for God. I'm willing that she's willing to take that talent that she has had, that God has used over the years, and continue it. I'm glad she didn't quit. And some of you today, you're sitting here today, and boy, you're struggling. You've got spiritual warfare that's going on, and you're saying, boy, I don't care what happens. I'm just tired of all of this, and I don't care if the Lord comes. I've been taking it a little differently. I do care whether the Lord comes or not. I'm not ready for the Lord to come yet. Bad as my old body hurts and aches, I'm not ready for the Lord to come yet. Why? It would be selfish of me and you to want the Lord to come back right now. Play with just a little here. Now, what I'm saying is there is a world of people lost and going to hell. It ought to be the burden on our heart that we do try to do what we can to reach the lost. And if into that, when that time comes, that's over. But while that we are here, Lord, wait a little longer. There are some folks, there are some friends, there are some loved ones that are not saved, that's going to hell if we don't get them saved. Try to get them saved. So Peter said, what about John here? And Jesus said, what is that to you? I don't know how God's going to use some of these young men. I don't know how God's going to use some of these young ladies. I've seen Ella Grace come from the cradle up to holding a guitar and singing. blessing. I see so these here, Buckwheat, I don't know about him. Now, he's come from the cradle, but that he's still got a way to go yet. No, these kids. You look at them and you say, Lord, what have you got in store for them? What have you got in store for them? Oliver, what's he got in store? Owen, what's he got in store? God could reach down and say, hey, here's some young men after my heart. These are some Davids that's willing to take on Goliath. Here's some young men and some young ladies that are willing to stand in make up the hedge and willing to do what I could do for them and want them to do for me and willing for them to serve me and then watch them grow and watch them develop and watch them say, hey, I surrender all to him. Oh, sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. I see these young people and see the potential and see what God could take and use. And boy, my heart gets excited. Peter, what are you going to do? I think Peter learned his lesson. I think Peter finally said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I was talking to Paul. And what in following? That I had Romans 4:14. And I'll quit. Verse 19. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved to men. Verse 18. Now verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, things wherewith one may edify. Well, what can I do in following the Lord? Well, here's some things. Follow after peace. Are you a peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker, James? Are you striving to be to take keep peace going? You got to get it with Erica first, don't you see? It starts at home. I'm a peacemaker. I want to hit in the church. I want to be able to let people, to try to be one to bring peace. Then he said, into that, follow the things wherewith one may edify another. I wish we could learn to do something like that. We learn here as a body of believers. Hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ as a body of believers. Are we trying to edify, lift up one another? Are we trying to encourage one another? I hope so. Into that, he said, for all things you need to prepare, it's good to see. He said, thou hast faith, have it to thyself. He said, into that, so the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians said, Paul said, follow that which is good. In 1 Corinthians 14, follow after charity. in 1 Timothy 6, some things that he says to follow. It'd be good for you to look at what do I need to do? What am I to follow? And boy, I tell you don't want to follow the things. He said, but thou, old man of God, are you saved? You're a child of God? You've been saved? Now here, these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, hold on to eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Can I say to us today, into that, Peter, do you love me? Lord, I love you. Follow me. And I say to you today, Landmark Baptist people, do you love God? And most of you say, yeah, preacher, I love you. Win your battles. Stay faithful to God. God will give you the victory over those battles that you're battling. And there's a valley that you may be in. There's a mountain that you can get up to. And time you get up to that mountain, there's another valley on the other side. But I'm saying to you, let your failures become a victory. Let your disappointments become victories in your service for God. Now, if you're here today and not saved, we invite you to come and get saved today. As we stand over the auditorium, we invite you to trust Christ as your Savior. If you're here without in that battle that you're having, take it to the Lord.